Go to Matthew 11, verse 7. Say Matthew 11, verse 7. And as they departed, this is right after John the Baptist had sent his disciples to see if the Lord was real. And he said, go tell them what you do see and hear. There's another kingdom in operation now. That'll tell you I'm in operation. Well, go to verse 3. I'll show thee. He said to them, art thou he should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them. What do you think he probably preaching to the poor anyway? Yeah. By the way, here's the good news. You'll have to stay in your condition. No, it's the good news. Poor, you don't have to be poor no more. This gospel says a lot about the operation. God understands money in a big way. It has a lot to say about finance. And there's a lot of error in the body of Christ. A lot of error in anything if you look at it. Except my golf swing, of course. That's just sheer perfection. You're supposed to say amen. I'm speaking things that be not as though they were. That's called faith. As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes, concerning John, verse 7, what went you out into the wilderness to see? Now John was the last Old Testament prophet, and he was the greatest. Very important you understand this. What when you have to see a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they wear soft clothing in kings' houses. What were you out to see? He kept saying, what did you go out to see? What were you looking for with John? I say unto you, what would you have to see? Verse 9, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. What you went out to see, a prophet? Yes, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before me. What was he more than anything? Is he was that transition point between two kingdoms, or two dispensations. He was going to announce the new kingdom, and through his beheading, close out the old. The old covenant was going to be closed out to make way for the new one. John had this incredible place in history. He was that transitionary point. All right, that's very important because Jesus was marking that. Tell him, what were you looking to see in him? Because even John said, I must decrease that he might increase. In other words, what I'm carrying, the law and the prophets were until John. What I'm carrying must now decrease that covenant so a new government will come into the earth. All right? This is what the Lord is marking here. With this new government, everything changed. The way men interacted with God changed. The position that men had with God changed suddenly overnight. All right. Verse 10, this is he of whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say to you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. In other words, in the Old Testament, the entire history of the Old Testament, Jesus marked him as the greatest under that reign of that covenant. That's powerful. Among men born of women, there's not one arisen greater than him. Do you understand that? greater than David, greater than Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the Old Testament. Not one greater than John. He held the highest rank under the old. All right. Notwithstanding. Everyone say, notwithstanding. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. I know you didn't get that. He that is least in what I'm bringing into the earth. In other words, the Lord said, I stand and I'm bringing a brand new government, a brand new covenant, a brand new dispensation, and everyone that's born from the least to the greatest, even the very least of any saint born under the dispensation of the new covenant is greater than John. That's what he said. I know some of you are going, huh? Now, what he's actually saying there, positionally, they have a greater position in me. Now, if they don't fulfill that position, you talk about someone gets born again and throws their life away. When they go up into heaven, they're not going to be greater than John there. But here, they have a greater operation. They have a greater place to walk. You know what I'm saying? Greater than Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, greater than John, about all the Old Testament saints, kings, heroes, men of faith. Anyone born in this dispensation, the Lord says that I bring into the earth has a greater place to function with me than they would have ever, they would have died, in other words, to have what you have. In fact, two of them recorded, Abraham and David, their faith was so great that it reached in. They saw, you know, you get close to God, you'll see. That's the nature. You'll start seeing. You'll start seeing the future. You will arrive to your gate long time before you're supposed to be there. You'll get to your gate and say, this is my gate. God said, yeah, but you've got 10 years before you're ready to go through that. I'm like, no, I'm here. I see it. I preach it. Stuff we were preaching 8 years ago with our diapers on, you know. We had our Pampers on. Ready to take on the kingdom. You understand. Takes maturity to walk in things. Well, you'll see into things. David saw this. He prophesied. Abraham saw it. The Bible said God preached the gospel to Abraham personally. God came to Abraham and preached the gospel. These men looked so hard and so diligently into, they apprehended an operation of our gospel, of our dispensation. And they had no right to walk in there, it was accounted unto them for righteousness. And they got to walk in with the rights that we have. Isn't that awesome? To reach into something that doesn't even belong to you? How much more for us to reach into what does belong to us? That's another teaching. It's an awesome one. All right? He that is least in the kingdom of heaven, every one of you here qualifies for that. Somewhere between, here's a revelation for you. We're somewhere between the least and the greatest. But you have a greater standing with God because you've got access that they didn't have access to. That access that Jesus granted you is huge. Verse 12, you have to understand when Jesus teaches, I don't know if he just thinks we understand these things. You know, 2,000 years we're scratching our head on them. What do you say there? Because he says, look, okay, I spent a whole chapter talking about John. Now we're going to talk about the new kingdom. He shifts. He shifts gears here. This is a major gear shift. All right? Verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now. Say, from the days of John the Baptist. He just got out through outlining all of the days of John the Baptist. He's actually talking about the entire law and prophets. He's talking about the whole Old Testament because he's saying he's the one carrying. He was the greatest in that reign. But Jesus said, there's a greater that stands before you now because I'm carrying the new one. In other words, here's Mark's two men. One carrying, he stands as the greatest under an old covenant reign. He goes in, but I'm standing before you, the greatest, under the new one. You see that? From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. But the violent take it by force. Takes a lot to understand that scripture. Let's read it again, verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now. Until now. Until now. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. The violent take it by force. He's talking about a jurisdictional shift in dispensation. And I'll explain it to you in a minute. Verse 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. You see what he's saying? He's closing out this dispensation. I'm offering a brand new one, and the least of this brand new kingdom will be greater than any Old Testament prophet that ever walked the earth. Anybody born again, thank you for your enthusiasm and amens. You understand what you have. Who you are. That's what the Lord was trying to realize. In fact, the entire demonic structure shifted in its assault against people. Before the kingdom of heaven in the Old Testament, they gained ground by natural war. They gained ground with fighting one another. You know, God said, move the Philistines out. Everything shifted because God opened the heavens. Go over to John chapter 12. We'll come back to this. I'll come back to the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. But I have to show you what's actually suffering the siege. There's a siege. But the strong, the mighty, will take it by force. To a novice Christian or to spiritual adolescents, here's what they do. They hear that verse. Charge! We're here to take it by force. We're taking over! The kingdom of heaven does not do things in the natural first. It's all done in the spirit. It's a spiritual operation first that then manifests into the natural. You're going to try to take things by force in the natural, you'll just operate in carnality. That's not how ground's taken. That's not how the kingdom comes. John 12, verse 26. Hallelujah. If any man serve me, let him follow me, that where I am, there shall also my servant be. All right. Go to chapter 14, verse 3. I'll go to verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe in me. He's telling them this because he just got through telling them he's leaving. How'd you like to be walking with the Lord firsthand? He's telling you, see ya. I'm going away now. I can imagine you're just going to be jumping for joy. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Now, there are mansions in heaven because there's been plenty of people there that have seen them. But that's not what this scripture is talking about. This is not what that's saying here. There's in my Father's house, there's many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Say, a place. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And here it is again. That where I am, say where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, and Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't even know what you're talking about half the time. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, so John 12, he says, I go to where I am, there you may be also. John 14 says, where I am, there you may be also. And he says it again. Go to John 17. No, John 17, chapter 17, verse 24, says it three times. Father, I will, verse 24, that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Father, I will, they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. Three times he says, where I am, there you may be also. John 14 says, I'm going away. Now this is real important. To understand the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. If you understand that, the violent take it by force, you'll start seeing the kingdom show up. Go back to John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Now this is from chapter 13 to chapter 17 was taught to 12 people. And then it became 11 when Judas was given the boot. This is up in the upper room. John was the only one that caught what was said between chapter 13 to chapter 17. He's the only one that caught it. He laid his head upon the bosom or the chest of the Lord. And he caught the heartbeat of God. What's in those chapters are so remarkably profound, it's amazing. No other disciple, apostle caught any of this. Only one of them caught it. One say, thank God he caught it. He caught the story of the gospel in a way that we as the church of the 20th century need to catch this gospel. What's really going on here? It's not just about coming to church and being saved and the next week talk about being saved again and the next week being talk about being saved again. For God so loved the world he gave. I mean, how many times are you going to get saved? You got to make a choice. So you come in and start learning of God, you know. Well, I'm learning to be a good person. The Bible is a whole lot more than learning to be a good person. Of course, there's morality and righteousness in God, but it's a whole lot more than just being a good person. The least in the kingdom was greater than any Old Testament prophet that ever walked the face of the earth. It's about finding that position. How could we possibly be greater than David, Solomon? How can we have a greater operation than Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? These men shook the world. How about Elijah? Elisha. They shook the world. We've been given and granted access in a position. And when John laid his head upon the Lord's breast, he caught it. He said, listen, let not your heart be troubled. I got to go away. But if I go away, I'll come back and get you. So most of us think, well, yeah, he's going to come back and get us at the second coming. No! He came back and got you the day you were born again. He had to go away and prepare a path, a bridge for you, because he was going to bring you to the place that he held with the Father. I came from the bosom of the Father. I go to the Father. I came from him. I'm going back to him. But let not your heart be troubled. I'm taking you there with me. I'm going to prepare a place for you in him. I got a room I'm preparing. I've got a pathway I'm preparing. I got a bridge. It's going to make you, give you greater access to the Father than any Old Testament saint would have ever had. Greater operation, greater access. I'm going to lift you and translate you out of a dimension of a government, of a system you were born into, and I'm going to give you full inherited citizenship in the kingdom. Now. It wouldn't say now. Verse 2, 14 and 2, in my Father's house. When God says house, that's kingdom, that's government, everything. In my Father's government, in my Father's house, in my Father's kingdom. There are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would not told you, I go to prepare one for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. First thing we need to know is, where is he? Because if you don't know where he is, you can't go there. Everyone ever gone anywhere had to get a map? The word is your map. The means of travel is faith. Faith is your car. It's your truck. It's your motorcycle. It's your RV. It's whatever you travel. Faith is what gets you there. And then God gives you keys to unlock that place. Now go with John 17 real quick. Amazing. We're going to get back to kingdom of heaven suffering violence here in a minute. But you got to understand what's being suffered. What's being sieged. Why? The demonic armies in the heavenlies transition from fighting you in the natural, which they do. More importantly now, they're fighting your position. They're fighting the position Jesus gave you. They're fighting it with all diligence, because you were given a place not only far above every Old Testament saint, you were given a place far above every demonic entity. You were given a place far above it. The devil knows that. And if he can't keep you subjected to a realm where he can temper your belief system to get you to accept that you're nothing more than a nice little Christian that sits on a pew 30 minutes a week. If he ever... He assaults. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love you, Holy Spirit. I thank you for showing us who we are. What we will do in the last days. Oh, glory. We want God to come change everything. You can't change things until you get to where He is. I am not going to weep the day I stand before Him and find out I had a position I knew how to come into. I am going to learn how to stay in that place. John 17, verse 22, the glory thou gavest me, I feel the anointing today. The glory thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. You know, he's not talking about your unity here in the church. Although he does talk a lot about that. That's not what this scripture was saying. Well, we just need to be one, you know. He says, I pray they be one the way we are, Father. You have to understand, John 1, Jesus said, I came from the bosom of the Father. The bosom is the heart. I came from the heart of the Father. I came, I left Him to come to the earth. I walked here for 33 and a half years. Now I have to go back to Him. Now I have to leave you, but let not your heart be troubled. I have to leave you for a small moment. I even myself will be forsaken by the Father. But if I leave you and I go by way of the cross, I'm going to prepare something for you. It's called a bridge, a door. I'm going to open a realm to you and the Father that no Old Testament saint, that every one of them you ever admired
and read of the greatness of who they were, you will have greater access to the Father than any one of them. You'll have a greater place of position and authority to rule and reign with the Father in the earth. And if you can make it, you'll have one of the greatest places in heaven. Everyone say, Booyah. Verse 22, the glory thou gavest me, Father, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now watch this. He's talking the glory. He's talking about the standing he had with the Father. By way of the cross, I can give them what I have with you, Father. In fact, they can be with me where I am in you. Quiet. This Pentecostal church. I in them. Everyone say, He's in us. That's called the kingdom of God is within you. I in them. Thou in me. That they may be perfect in one. That the world may know thou hast sent me. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Where I am. That they may behold the same glory, Father, that I have with you in the exact same place. That's the story of the gospel. That's just real hard for carnality to understand that, you know. He says, I go to prepare a place. Let's go to our familiar scripture before we go back to the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. Where do you think we're going now? Anybody want to take a guess? Come on. You know, when I was studying under Pastor Dave, I used to know exactly where he was going next. You know that? I tell Anna, I said, he'll go here next. I listened to him so much, I knew what was going to happen. Ephesians. Put Ephesians. Now, remember he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that I'll come again and receive you. Do you think he's talking about when he comes back on the second coming? Well, we know he's going to receive us then. But is that place prepared for us now? Is that ours now? What makes you greater than an Old Testament saint, any of them? Even the great ones. Because you're positioned with the Father. Because what he's given you. In this amazing position, and the devil trembles. Did you ever get aware of who you are and what God's done for you? Because in reality, you're seated so far above Him, He can't touch you. Of course, we have to learn how to get there. We're still mapping it out. Amen? Look at verse 1, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know I've taught a lot on this, but I'm going to keep on. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing, where? In heavenly places or in earthly places? That's why most of the things we're wanting in God, we keep trying to get them here. There's a part of you that can go there, and you must learn to get connected to this realm. It's a great necessity. It'll change everything you do. It'll change the way you do business. It'll change the way you do ministry. It'll change the way you do God. It changes everything. Now, I'll show you this, and I'm going to take you back to the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. Go to chapter 7, verse 17, chapter 1. He's praying. It's a very important prayer. Kenneth Hagin used to pray this prayer all the time. It says, verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, you know, you can pray this same scripture. It's a good one to pray, because I'm going to tell you what you're praying for here in a second. Watch the prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge. You can read it like this, the knowledge of your standing with Him. Paul, this whole book of Ephesians was talking about dual government, the government of Satan, the demonic government, and the kingdom of God, and your position in the kingdom. He outlines a lot. He talks about access. There's a tremendous amount of revelation in this book. Paul's praying you would get insight into this place that he prepared for you. If I go away, I'll prepare a place that where I am, there you may be also. That is where we are now. I'm seated there now. The eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Not your calling, his calling. What is his calling? To bring a generation before him into the bosom of the Father, to stand where he stood with the Father, that he could do the works of the Father, that you could do the works of the Father. To stand in the same place he held. When he stood there with Nicodemus, said, no man is ascended from God except he that ascended to God that is in heaven now. No man is ascended from heaven. No man is ascended to heaven except he that descended from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven, while I talk to you now. That operation is why the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. But the violent take it by force. So what does that mean? We're getting there. Anticipation. The exceeding riches of his glory is inheritance. He has an inheritance in you. He purchased something for you. It's not for you to walk around all your life in defeat. That's not what he purchased for us. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, when he raised him from the dead and sat him at his own right hand. Everyone say, own right hand in heavenly places. Now it's not like this, okay, Jesus, you're here in my right hand. You understand he's talking about governmental reign here. He sat him in himself, but he's in the Father because he said, I came from the bosom of the Father. I go back into him and I'm sat at his own right hand. Governmentally, I am with him. There's no one higher except the Father. Christ is at the right hand of the Father in heavenly place. He sat there when God raised him from the dead. It's a governmental position. Nobody has a problem with that until it comes to you. All right. Now, this is a very important scripture here, because this is why the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And this is why the violent must take it by force. Verse 21. Far above. Say, far above. I know you have heard this. You're going to hear it again. You've got to get this in you. When you get this in, you're going to learn to get there. Far above all principalities, powers, might, dominions, systems, governments, authorities, houses, rules, reigns. Far above! Not only in this world. Did you get that? Far above the operations of this world system, but in the world which is to come, booyah, and hath put all things, where? Under his feet. Until you learn to function from that position. We talked about this Thursday night, how Jesus told him to cast the net, and the fish filled the boat. They cast the net from a position of authority because he was with them. And when he was with them, everything was under his feet. So when you let down the net from one jurisdiction to another, it calls that secondary jurisdiction to bow to the kingdom. And when it bowed to the kingdom, the fish were drawn like a magnet. You literally have the authority as a believer, as a king and a priest, to cast your net into a secondary jurisdiction. If you understand that you belong to two jurisdictions, you belong to this one, but you also belong to another one.
You're not of this world. The kingdom within you is not of this world, and you have a right to be there. And until you learn to get there, you don't know how to let down your net because you're trying to do things in the world system. Could you imagine be swimming inside the fish, in the pond, in the sea, and you start trying to cast the net into the sea? You can't cast the net until you're above, until you're in another jurisdiction. That's like swimming in a sea and trying to throw a net while you're in the water. You're not ever going to defeat the world system by swimming in it. Jesus did not bring the power of heaven by living in the world system. He did it, like he said to Nicodemus, no man has ascended to heaven, but he that descended from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. It's where I stand with my Father that gives me the power and the access to rule and reign in a secondary jurisdiction called earth. Until you learn that jurisdiction, all we will be is Christians. Nice little Christians. All our churches will ever be. Our systems of programs and little nice governments. The receive offerings. Teach you how to be a nice person. To never offend anybody. And God knows they won't offend you either. Because they'll never teach anything. They'll challenge you, tell you how great you are, get you in, get you out. But you'll never know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you can never operate in a jurisdiction above this one. If you think the kingdom will come by operating in this jurisdiction, that's like casting a net in the sea while you're swimming in the sea. Could you imagine trying to move a net? You can't cast something unless you're on top of it. Let it down from the jurisdiction of the kingdom into the earth. You've been seated in that kingdom. You have been seated in that kingdom. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven. Separate violence. I've been given a new standing. It's far above. Oh, well, that's Jesus. Okay, well, turn your Bible. Chapter 2. Verse 1. Oh, chapter Ephesians. Of course, he's seated up there. We don't have any problem with that. What'd he say? He goes, I go to prepare, let not your heart be troubled. I go prepare a place for you. I'll come and get you. That where I am, where the Father's, but I'm going to go by way of the cross and I got to go in the belly of the earth. Well, then my Father's going to come fulfill His promise that He made to me when Abraham came and witnessed the covenant that the Father made with me, and He swore that He would come and get me. Not only did He swear He'd come and get me, He swore He'd multiply me in the nations of the earth. He's going to come and get me after 3 days. And He's going to raise me up back to where I was. But when He raises me up, He's going to raise you up there too. Because I've gone to prepare a place for you in me, that where I am, you will be also. And God raised him up far above the principalities and the powers. They got 3 days with him, but that was it. God raised him up and set him at his own right hand, set him in the government, set him inside himself. He went back into the bosom. He goes, I go back. I came from the bosom of the Father. I go back to the bosom of the Father. He sat him right there. This is what Paul was saying. I pray your understanding be enlightened. You need to get lit. God needs to light your candle. One day you're going to live there enough for the authority of that place transfers. And once it does, it's going to release through the keys of the kingdom that whatever you loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven. When you're loosing on the earth, by the way, you're not on the earth when you're loosing. You're in your heavenly place. You're loosing from your heavenly place into the earth. And when it looses there, it'll get loose in heaven. And things will start happening. And people will once again say, my God, I want to know the God that you serve. The world is not impressed right now. You can't make it look good enough to impress the world. They're going to have to see the Capernaum demonstration. They're going to have to see the inheritance demonstrate before them. Jesus wants to show off real big time right now. You know, he purchased this inheritance for us. He doesn't like a powerless church. It does not please him. Everyone saying, we cry, we scream. Oh, God, come. When? How long? We howl. But that's not what transfers jurisdiction. That's what the other one called the catalyst of the kingdom to come. You have to ascend into position. It's all about your position. Here it is, Ephesians 2 and 1. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That prince of the power of air, his whole government was outlined in Ephesians chapter 6. You wrestle not against flesh and blood. You wrestle not against flesh, but you're wrestling against principalities and powers. You're wrestling against them. They are coming at your position with the Father violently. Why? Because they're trying to keep you from ascending too far above and up out of their reach. Where was Jesus set? Far above. Where was everything put under his feet? Anybody have a problem with that? Then where are you? According to the principality of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, the church are children of disobedience. He translated you out of the system. You've been given an inherited right to operate above the system of this earth and have authority here, true dominion and authority. It does not come by the flesh. It doesn't come by the arm of the flesh and the sufficiency of man. That is not how the kingdom functions. Among whom we've had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, were nature by the children of wrath. Everyone say, but God. I like it, but God, verse 4. Who is rich in mercy and his great love. Even, I'm closing. We got to go back over there to my first, I've held you all service. I've done that for a purpose. So you'd listen to me. Don't give all your pearls up in the beginning. Give them at the end. Even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. He's talking about the one in chapter 1, by the way. Even verse 6. I can't get off the scripture. My God, I've been preaching this thing. And hath raised us up together. Say, raised us up together. Made us sit together with Christ in heavenly places. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. I go to prepare a place for you. It's not on the earth. It's a heavenly place, but I'm going to give you access to where I am with the Father. There you may be also. And it's far above the jurisdictions of this earth realm. And when you learn to live there, what I did, the works that I did, when you know who you are, how can you have authority over sin, sickness, and disease if you're swimming in the same pond? It's not until you get into the heavenly position you have authority. If you don't know how to get into that position, you'll never have authority. You can scream the name of Jesus to them all day long. I did when I was a Bible student. I spent 8 hours trying to cast the devil out of this kid. I stayed up all night. We went to Norval Hayes Bible College. They go in the service. Norval Hayes said, young man, come over here. And they called that man. He said, devil, come out! Come out of him! You hear me? Come out! That kid just started flopping all over the floor. The devil came out. And I was like, I object! I said, no! I don't care that God kid got free. He didn't come by me. I spent 8 hours. I said exactly the way he said it. I just wasn't standing in the same place he was. See that? Let me show you this. Can you stay with me a couple more minutes? I know I'm teaching, but... All right, go down. Verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17. Then I got to go and close you out. Amen. Oh, we're that late. Ouch. I didn't know I went that late. Doggone it. Man, I was thinking 1 o'clock today. Truly. Oh, well. I'm sorry. I gotta finish now. Okay, look at verse 7. He came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. Far off, Gentile, them that were nigh Jews. For through him we both have access. Everyone say access. By one spirit unto the Father. Everyone say access. By one spirit. Therefore, you're no more strangers or foreigners. I am not a stranger to the kingdom of God. I'm not a foreigner. I have access and I have a passport. Not only do I have a passport, I'm a son and I'm an heir and a joint heir because I'm in him. He's in the Father, and I'm in him. Therefore, I am at the right hand of the Father, and my authority and all of that governmental rule, too, is under my feet. For the kingdom of heaven, now that this new covenant has been introduced, suffers violence. But the violence it's suffering is your position. The enemy has switched. And now he's trying to seize your position. That's why everything comes at you. It comes at you in the spirit. It comes at you in the natural. Everything's designed to keep you from moving in your rightful place of heirship in the kingdom of heaven's coming! And the enemy's coming with violence! With siege! He's trying to seize that position because he knows he's been stripped of his authority now. And the only way he can continue to rule and reign over your life is to keep you under his feet. To keep you from ascending up. He sieges with deception. He sieges with this world system. He's trying to keep you chained down. Make a nice little 50-year Christian out of you that never does anything. That kingdom suffers violence. But the strong, the enforcers, they'll take that position by force. They'll ascend to that position by force. They'll find that position. They'll fight hell to get through, to understand how to ascend in that position. They'll take it. They'll enforce that position. They'll come to the place that I have called them and prepared for them to be. They'll come into position because the least in my kingdom are greater than any Old Testament saying. When you find out who you are, you'll be able to come up into that seat and start ruling and reigning, and you'll really find the devil is under your feet. You can say that all day long until you get in position. It doesn't mean anything. You don't have authority because we're out of position. You can't sit in the realm of carnality and scream at the devil, I rebuke you, I rebuke you, I rebuke you. You have no authority to rebuke him when you're living in the natural. You have to get into your priesthood, move into position. You won't hear this in Bible school, by the way. You get into your position, and then you loose from that position. You take authority. You cast your net down into the earth's jurisdiction. You release from that position. And when you release, things start happening. Amen? Let's give the Lord a hand. Glory to God.